You see, some people, they have already made up their mind about you and about the gospel and about your Christianity. They make up their minds and believe the worst. They're unwilling to listen, to reason. They presume. The Bible tells us through presumption comes nothing but strife. But with those who receive counsel is wisdom, and so a viciousness, hostility. Thomas Brooks says, of all the members in the body, there is none so serviceable to Satan as the tongue.
As we gather, may your spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we
Aloha kako e komo mai. Welcome to As We Gather, the Bible teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel Honolulu with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. Today, Pastor Bill continues in Acts chapter 21 with a message titled Rumors.
We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because
well, in our Bibles, in Acts chapter 21, verse 28, we want to just focus on that, talking about rumors. So this is basically a topical. We've already done chapter 21. We know that Paul came to Jerusalem. He compromised with the church there by going in and pretending that he's going through the rituals and the ceremonies and stuff, and he believed in all that. And he did. He didn't necessarily abandon that, but he said, that's not going to save you. And so trying to accommodate them, he did that, but it created a riot. And in creating a riot, you find that there were a lot of rumors that went out about Paul and a lot of wrong information, just like it went out about Jesus Christ. He was slandered. Christ was slandered. Paul was slandered. But you see, it didn't keep the Lord from his ministry, even though, and we'll deal with that this morning as well as we talk about Paul, but as he was evil spoken of, it didn't stop him from fulfilling what God had called him to do. And it shouldn't for us as well. Maybe people are trying to deal with your reputation and trying to take away from who you are. You know, there are those that can destroy your reputation, but only you can destroy your character. You see, character is what counts. And so Paul had character. Jesus Christ had character. And that's who we follow. We follow after Jesus. So as we get into this, we'll see what rumors and what slander can do. In 1947, word got out that the Ford Motor Company would give a Ford in exchange for every copper penny dated 1943. The story spread so fast that Ford offices throughout the country were jammed with requests for information. And in spite of a telephone strike, thousands of inquiries came in by telephone, telegram, and mail. There wasn't email at that time, but by those. And records supplied by the U.S. Mint show that in 1943, 1,093,838,670 pennies were minted. That would be a lot of Ford cars to give away, wouldn't it? All of zinc-coated steel. None were made of copper. It wasn't available for mining. It was all being used in the war effort. The rumor turned out to be a hoax without a shred of truth. Interesting, interesting story. Someone has said that a rumor is about as hard to unspread as butter and gets thicker as you spread it. We're going to look at how destructive rumors can be in the life of others, especially in the life of Paul. But then we'll look at the destructive force in the life of Jesus as well, as we look at Jesus' triumphant entry in that in to Jerusalem at that time, and just look at what he was facing. But he didn't waver from that call that he had. Now, Paul's enemies, back to Paul here, they went from place to place spreading these rumors, twisting his words, perverting his doctrine, fabricating lies about his character. And it had the effect of poisoning minds. Oh, it always does. Slander and gossip and rumors. Poisoning minds, planting doubts, and creating suspicion about Paul's ministry. John Calvin said, no greater injury can be inflicted upon a person than to wound their reputation. You see, some people turn away because that reputation is in tatters. But who's ruined it? Oh, the rumor mongers, those slanders. But Paul's character was intact. He would say, I have a perfectly good conscience before God. And you see, people couldn't handle that. But he did. His character was intact. And Paul's doctrine was being distorted. And it was kind of like tabloid type stuff that they said. And we'll read that in just a moment. It's one verse in Acts 21, verse 28. We'll read it in a moment. But it was almost like tabloid fodder. You know what tabloids are? Scandal sheets. Oh, there's a little bit of truth there. Oh, but so much falsehood. It would be like Donald Trump gets advice on how to win the election, and advisors include Nancy Pelosi and a two-headed alien. Well, you see, there's a little bit of truth there. He's going to get advice, but the other part is false. And so for Paul, oh, so much false talk about Paul. You see, Paul, he exalted in the grace of God. He was all about the grace of God over and above the sinfulness of man. That got him in trouble. In fact, the greater the sinner, the greater God's abundant grace of forgiveness. And that's what they couldn't handle because they were all focused on the law. Oh, you've got to keep the law to be right with God. And yet they wouldn't face their failures of the law. And yet Paul, the man, and his message were being misrepresented. The good was being evil spoken of in Paul's life. Romans 3:8 says, and why not say, as we are slanderously reported, and as some affirm, that we say, let us do evil, that good may come, their condemnation is just. Paul, writing to the Romans, said that. They're accusing me of saying, go ahead and sin some more, because God's grace will cover that. No, he's not saying that at all. And they say he's slandering me. They're slandering me in this. The rumors, they're flying. And the word that he used there, slander, is blasphemial, where you get the word blasphemy. And it's to speak evil of, to rail on, and fault find, to criticize in a wrong way. You see, rumors escalate, and they morph into personal attacks. And so in Acts 20:21, Paul, remember, he comes back to Jerusalem after 20 years of being sent out from the Sanhedrin to eradicate Christianity. And he goes out to eradicate, and when it turns out that he's converted. He's converted to Christ, and he gives his life to Jesus Christ, and he's the greatest advocate for the gospel of Jesus Christ. So now the Jews don't understand him. They can't figure him out. And so now, two decades later, back in Jerusalem, a changed man, and the rumors and the slander and the scandal, it has come before Paul got to Jerusalem. And so what do these critics say as Paul is trying to show that, no, he's not against the law. He's not against circumcision. He's just saying it has its place, but they won't let him explain what the place is. He's going to preach in chapter 22, but at this point, no, they're just slandering her. They're trying to create mob mentality, and they do. And so this mob in the temple, as Paul is there, they're crying out, verse 28 of chapter 21 of Acts, "Men of Israel, come to our aid. This is the man who preaches to all men everywhere against our people and the law and this place. And besides, he has even brought Greeks into the temple and has defiled this holy place." That is not true. It's a rumor. It's false. It's slandering Paul. You see, Paul came to the temple to silence the rumors, not to start more rumors. He wanted to bring clarity to his position, not confusion. And so he wanted to really tell of his burden and his love for the Jews. And they didn't give him a chance at this point. You see, some people, they have already made up their mind about you and about the gospel and about your Christianity. They make up their minds and they believe the worst. They're unwilling to listen, to reason. And they presume that they knew Paul's heart. Well, we know where Paul's coming from, but no, you didn't. And your presumption is creating a hostility toward Paul. The Bible tells us through presumption comes nothing but strife. But with those who receive counsel is wisdom. Oh, they weren't willing to receive counsel. No wisdom with them, just presumption. And so a viciousness, hostility. Thomas Brooks says, "Of all the members in the body, there is none so serviceable to Satan as the tongue." Oh, Satan uses the tongue. Tongue to wipe people out, destroy people, assassinate people. You may not pull a gun or a knife, but with your tongue, you can assassinate a person. Heard of a story, well, a story of a lady just constantly gossip about this pastor, this small town pastor. Just gossip, really made havoc of his reputation. But finally, she somehow felt guilty for it. She came back to the pastor and said, "I'm so sorry that I've slandered your name all over town." And she said, "I'm sorry, what could I do to make amends?" The pastor, he got a pillow. He cut the end off the pillow. He said, "Here, take this pillow, and wherever you've gossiped about me, spread the feathers there." She said, "Really? Is that what you want me to do? To make amends?" He said, "Yes, do that, and then come back, give me the pillowcase." So she did. For the next week, she went all throughout town and scattered the feathers. She came back with a pillow, empty pillowcase. She said, "I've done it. Here you are." He said, "Okay, one more thing. Now go gather up all the feathers." Well, that would be impossible. And you see, that's true about slander. It's easy to spread, but it's really impossible to take back, especially when you're telling stories about others. Well, it didn't hinder Paul from doing his ministry. It just really gave him a bad reputation. The Bible says the words of a whisper, like dainty morsels, they go down into the innermost parts of the body. It's like you hear it, it goes down, and you hold on to it. That's how you think about that situation or that person. You see, Paul's attempts in the temple to satisfy the wrong impression that people were getting, it backfires on Paul. We talked about that last time. And, you know, get that study, because it talks about us compromising. Compromising our principles never works in our favor. It always backfires. And that's what it does here. The people there were hard-hearted. Their minds were made up. When a person's mind is made up, it doesn't matter what you say, you can lay out all the evidence and they still won't believe you. It's like I've heard some people's minds are like concrete, all mixed up and thoroughly set. Not going to change them at all. You can only take a jackhammer to break down that hard heart. They should have heeded the wisdom of their own scriptures, because they knew the scriptures. They had the scriptures. Psalm 18:17 says, "The first to plead his case seems just until another comes and examines him." wait a minute, you've heard this side of the story. You need to hear the other side to make a balanced judgment. That great conqueror, Alexander the Great, he used to hold one ear closed when someone was accused, saying his closed ear was reserved for the one absent. So I don't want to hear just one side. He was a powerful ruler. I want to hear the other side. Then I'll make my determination. You see, their law said in Leviticus, they knew this, Leviticus 19:16, you shall not go about as a talebearer among your people. Living Bible says, don't gossip, what he's saying. Neither shall you falsely accuse your neighbor of some crime. I am the Lord. You see, the Jews had their history. They had their history with these examples of rumors and gossip, the folly that it brought, and how they paid the price because of it. You see, you've heard it before, those who don't learn from history are doomed to repeat it. So what about jealousy? The jealousy rumors for jealousy of what belongs to another and you want it, and now you're going to spread rumors so that you can get it. Remember Jezebel and Ahab, how Ahab wanted Naboth's field? But Naboth said, I can, it's been in my family. This is from you know, the beginning when the kingdom was divided. I mean, when the land of promise was divided, this is my family's, and I'm going to pass it down to my kids. He said, I can't sell it to you. I can't give it to you for another field. And so Ahab went into his room, went on his bed and just pouted, whined like a little baby. His wife came home, Jezebel, said, what's wrong? He said, well, Naboth wouldn't sell me or give me his field. She says, are you not king? Can you not do what you want? I'll get it for you. So she got some worthless men, set them up, gave rumors about Naboth blaspheming God, and they took him out and stoned him. They knew that story about those rumors. What about misinterpretation of motives? They probably remember when David wanted to counsel, and there was a new king. The former had died, and Nahash, I think his name was, had died, and Hanun, his son, had come to power. And because Nahash had done good to David, he wanted to give his condolences. So he sent his men there to Hanun, and just to give his condolences. And Hanun's young servants and men said, oh, he hasn't come here to give you condolences. He came to spy out the land. He wants to take the land for himself. And so they took these servants of David, and they cut off half their beard, which was just a horrible thing to do, and cut their robe off halfway down, gave them a mini skirt. And these guys were so embarrassed. And that's exactly what was intended, just ridicule. And David said, until their beards grow, you know, have them, you know, be in a certain place. And then they went and they attacked the Ammonites. All because of a rumor, false accusation. They should have known that, these Jews in Paul's day. What about the scorn of a lover rumor? Remember Joseph, when he was sold into bondage and Potiphar bought him, the Egyptian, actually he was the chief executioner there in Egypt under Pharaoh. And he put Joseph was so skilled, he put him in charge of his whole household. Anything that was in the household, you know, he gave Joseph oversight of, except what Potiphar ate, and of course his wife. But his wife, she was a sensual woman. She had eyes for Joseph, and she kept saying, lie with me, lie with me, lie with me. She was like a bad Madonna song, you know, lie with me. And he said, how, your husband has given me charge of everything. How could I do this great sin and sin against God? Because Joseph knew who put him in charge. Maybe Potiphar did, but God is the one that was working through Potiphar to put him in charge. And so finally, when she was in the house all alone and Joseph was doing his duty, she grabbed his coat. He wrestled himself out of her hands and ran out of the house. And she held onto the coat and screamed and began to tell the servants there what she lied about, that he tried to rape me and here's his coat. And what a lie. Joseph was put in prison for a while, but when you read that story, it's in Genesis 39. Interesting, amazing story how God's sovereignty was in all that. But they knew what rumors would do. They had a history there. The Bible says all those who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It doesn't matter whether you're in the Old Testament or whether you're in the New Testament. When you live godly in Christ Jesus, there's going to be persecution that comes. I love what Charles Spurgeon said in this situation. He said, God had a son that had no fault, but he never had a son that was not found fault with. Jesus perfect, they found fault with him. The rest of us, sons of God, we have a lot of faults. And so people find faults with us. And then Spurgeon goes on here. He says, God himself was slandered in paradise by Satan. Let us not expect, therefore, to escape from the venomous tongue. So even God, Satan in paradise, I shall ascend above the heavens. I shall be like the Most High God. And he draw a third of the angels against God. Amazing. So don't be surprised if it comes your way. You see, unflattering rumors circulated about Jesus. And Jesus was accused of having an attitude or being an Epicurean and a wino. Remember the Epicureans? They just lived for pleasure. And all they did is they lived to eat. They were gluttons. And so they would put food in their mouth and they would have a contest. Oh, this was better than that. And, you know, it was just like they would savor the food and just, they had this weirdness about them. And then there were those that just, you know, tasted wine. They drank too much wine. They accused Jesus of being that. They said in Matthew 11:19, the Son of Man has come eating and drinking. And they say, behold, he is a glutton and a drunkard. They accused Jesus. They slandered him. They said he was illegitimate.
And that's where we'll finish on today's edition of As We Gather with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. This was a portion of a weekly Bible study from the book of Acts, chapter 21, titled Rumors. You can hear this message again by visiting CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com and take advantage of our vast media archive. We really appreciate any support or feedback that we receive from our listeners. If you'd like to financially support the As We Gather media ministry, you can give securely online through our website, CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com. May the Lord richly bless you as you walk with him today.
As we gather, may your spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may your spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may your spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin, we'll be blessed because we came, yeah. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.
Next time on As We Gather, we'll continue in Acts chapter 21. Until then, aloha and agape.
will be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.